But I have not been doing laundry. It's been Christmas and I've been drunk.
Welcome to Geeks Without God with Tim Wick, Nick Glover, and Molly Glover.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
This week on Geeks Without God, we take a look at the piece of shit year that was 2016. We talk about bad movies, celebrity deaths, and while we're talking about it, Debbie Reynolds died, so fuck.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Welcome to Geeks Without God. I'm your host, Tim Wick. I'm joined, as always, by my co-host, Molly Glover.
Hello.
And Nick Glover.
Heya.
And we are here to talk about 2016. Now, normally, because it's our New Year's show, normally when we do our New Year's show, we talk about, you know, the cool stuff that happened in 2016, maybe what we're looking forward to in 2017.
Yeah.
But we have to be really honest, and 2016 was kind of a shit show.
It was.
And we have been carefully avoiding the elephant in the room, and I don't like using elephant because I like elephants.
Right.
But the elephant in the room, we ever since the election,
yeah,
we have not talked about the fucking election. But
sorry, it was very important that it happened.
if we're gonna make anything of 2017, we need to kind of get some shit out of there.
Yeah, I need to blow off some steam.
You know, we need to blow off some steam. So, as we all know, come January 20th of this year, Donald Trump is going to be sworn in as the 45th president of the United States, despite not winning the popular vote.
It's just going to happen.
There's nothing. It's like after it happened, I had lots of friends who were like, oh, this scenario could play out that he won't become president. I'm like, no, he's going to be president.
He's
going to
be president.
The sooner you can get over this denial phase and get into acceptance, the sooner your life is going to start to feel a little bit better.
Very true. And the thing I think that we really need to focus on, which I think is one of the worst parts of this, is that Donald Trump will forever be in the Hall of Presidents at Disney World.
No fucking kidding. And I got to point out,
I got to point out,
I am going to Disney World in January. We will be arriving on January 19th.
Oh.
We will be in Disney World on the day Donald Trump is sworn in as president. And I was actually...
You got to go.
I was actually looking forward to going to the Hall of Presidents if Hillary Clinton had been elected.
You've got
to
go now.
Then do they do it day one?
It would be no, it'll be closed. Soon as he's inaugurated, they close it down and they install the new president. So I couldn't have seen it anyway. But if it had been Hillary Clinton, I don't go to the Hall of Presidents. It's boring as dirt.
What? But it's amazing.
It's boring as dirt.
It's worth doing once every 10 years.
Once every 5
Here's
or 10
why it's
years.
Good. Here's why it's good. When you go to Disney World, you stay at resorts. So you don't understand the typical person's experience here. When we got to Disney World, we had driven for 4.5 hours. And then we had walked from our parking spot to the tram and waited, and then taken the tram into the main area where you then take the monorail into the main park. And then we'd walked into the park and gotten all the way through the gates and all that stuff. And we were roasting, sweating.
And so we're talking about air conditioning.
It was a gorgeous air conditioning experience.
Not just air conditioning, but the hurricane was just starting its initial downpour when we got there. So we were escaping the 10minutes of downpour that was coming down.
Escape from the weather is the only reason to go to the Hall of Presidents. And I understand that.
A place to sit and rest your feet?
There are other places to sit and
rest
your feet.
Creepy, almost real maquettes, animatronics.
But anyway.
I bet you don't like Spaceship Earth either.
Spaceship Earth is fucking awesome, but it doesn't have...
We're off topic.
It doesn't have...
Order in the court.
So anyway, I'm going to be in Disney World, and it's like Hall of Presidents is just going to make me mad.
I know.
I'm going to walk by it, and I'm just going to be like flipping off the Hall of Presidents, which sucks because they've got a new Muppet show that takes place in front of the Hall of Presidents, which I need to see.
Of course.
But the whole time I'm watching it, I'm going to be thinking, fucking Donald Trump is getting installed in the Hall of Presidents.
You know what's going to be great, though? Because I mean, when we next go to Disney World, I definitely am going to go see because I have a morbid curiosity. Because right now, the current president, wonderful Barack Obama, gives an eloquent animatronic speech. That is, as he is a very good speaker. It's a very great speech that they've excerpted from something he's done, and he's very gesturing and poised.
It's great.
I am really wondering what the fuck they're gonna use for the like 4 minute portion of the show where the current president talks about our freedoms.
Wouldn't it be great if they just kept it exactly as it is, and then just Trump is just there.
I want Barack Obama's voice to come out of Trump, and he's like this.
Oh my god, that'd be so great. Or Hillary Clinton's, because fact is she got more votes.
Yeah.
A lot more votes.
2.8 million more votes.
Still, she lost because Electoral College is the way things go.
Because of a lot of reasons, but that is one of them. You know, I would like to talk about something I hated this year.
Oh.
All right.
I hated fake news.
Oh.
And this is related to the election, but it was happening well before and in cases that had nothing to do with the election. There was so much fake news, false news, advertising that is disguised as news that I saw people I know who have college degrees or who are very well read, who are intelligent, logical human beings who just read a headline and were like, oh my God. And whether it was the outrage machine or the glee machine, immediately shared it without even reading the article it was attached to.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw it so many times that I actually have a couple of friends who now don't really like me or have actually sent me a message. I got a message today saying I should stop Facebook policing somebody because of all the Snopes links I was posting on her stuff. And it's just the like people are like, I don't care if it's real or not. I thought it was interesting.
Well,
and that to me is a fascinating cognitive dissonance to say.
Preface it by saying this is fiction.
But it's not even that. I'm just asking questions. I don't know if this is real or not.
Yeah,
I guess I don't know.
Donald Trump territory right
it is.
There.
It really
I'm
is.
I'm just asking questions.
I've actually heard it referred to as jacking off, J-A-Q-ing off, just asking questions.
Nice.
Like these
like
people
that.
Just jacking off all the time.
I like that a lot.
I think the concept of just asking questions, everyone can have their own facts, and what I feel is as valuable as a logical proven fact are three things that super pissed me off this year.
Well, and here's what pissed me off too. It's like Snopes used to be a reliable thing where if somebody said something, you could post Snopes. But now I've noticed that the right has basically said Snopes is run by a bunch of liberals, so I will not accept it as something that debunks my point of view.
And it's even like, with all their citations.
It's like they do citations.
Yep.
If you go in there and there's left shit that they debunk just as thoroughly as stuff from the right.
I'll give an example of something that I think was intellectually dishonest on Snopes.
Mm.
I got into a conversation with someone on Facebook about Jill Stein.
Yeah.
Yep.
And I said, look, she's essentially anti-vaccine, and they're like, actually, and they posted the Snopes link that was debunking Jill Stein as anti-vaccine,
and it wasn't necessarily debunking.
What Snopes had said is she has come out and said I'm not anti-vaccine, but like the very next line is I'm just asking questions, and I think we shouldn't be beholden.
I'm not anti-vaccine,
I'm not anti-vaccine.
Anytime you say but, what you really mean is I am anti-vaccine.
And then her next paragraph in the speech was all anti-vax signaling using their terminology, using the fear, uncertainty, and doubt of vaccines and scary big pharma out to get us. And Snopes says, no, Jill Stein's not anti-vax. And it's like, maybe technically, but not in practice. So, I don't know.
Do you guys feel like there's been a rise in what I used to think were rational people, like believing in homeopathy this year?
Well, I noticed a friend of ours, and I don't want to name names, a friend of the show, his wife is actually, there's a thread about rethinking homeopathy is real, and I'm like, what the fuck? How dumb do you have to be? I mean, homeopathy is like, to me, really, literally, how dumb do you have to be?
What's really hard is that people, in that particular thread, there was a lot of talk about, like, the power of belief. and how that's the power of belief can actually help you, and therefore homeopathy isn't bad, because what it's doing is it's helping you channel and focus your beliefs and your energies.
It's helping you do that for how much fucking money? What a bunch of bullshit. It's the money. Convince yourself that water can fucking do that for you, since that's all homeopathic shit is anyway.
It's funny, is it that the placebo effect is real even if you know you're taking a placebo something like in a fairly regularly, you know, reoccurring percentage. And so, I mean, I suppose you could just say, I'm drinking this water to cure my depression every day, and drink the water, and I suppose
there's some percentage chance that will work.
Or at least help, or I don't know. Yeah,
I don't know if that was unique to 2016. No. I mean, it's certainly... The thing that Trump was indicative of is a larger desire to ignore facts.
Yes.
And to ignore, you know, because it at the end of the day, it shouldn't have mattered anything else. I mean, you can love Hillary Clinton or hate Hillary Clinton, whatever the fuck, I don't give a shit. It shouldn't have mattered. At the end of the day, if you voted for Trump, you were coloring in a circle or flipping a switch that said, I think it's okay to hate women.
Or all the other things he did. Yeah.
Like I think it's okay to hate everyone that's not a straight, cis, white
that
male.
There's a tweet from a guy who's like, for the life of me, I will never understand why his campaign wasn't over when he mocked that reporter with the disability and put his hand up, like, by his chest and was like, ugh. Yeah. Like, you should see this guy. He's like, ugh. Yeah. And it's like, he's like, I don't understand how, I mean, Bill Clinton's campaign almost died because it was like, did he maybe smoke weed once?
But it's a different world. Trump could He's been elected with the premise that he can do literally anything and people don't give a fuck.
He even said that. He's even said, I could shoot a guy in the broad daylight and they'd still elect me.
And what makes me angry is he was right.
I know.
He was right. I mean, I don't know if there's anybody listening to our podcast that voted for Trump or thinks Trump is awesome.
I can't imagine. I mean, do me a favor, just fucking go away, turn it off. I don't care.
Seriously, if you're an atheist and you voted for Trump, I just don't get it.
Yeah.
Because it means you abandon skepticism and reason to vote for a misogynistic idiot.
There's racist, misogynist atheists out
there.
I'm sure.
There are. And if you are one of them, you're doing atheism wrong.
We got the first atheist president, technically.
Well, you know, he believes in God because he believes he is God.
Yeah.
So he's not an atheist.
Can you be a deist narcissist?
But, I mean, I think there's a rise of that. And I think
I just...
2016 called into focus a lot of really dumb fucking shit.
You know, one thing that 2016 called into focus for some really dumb shit?
What's that?
Is, there were some really bad comic book movies this year.
There were so many bad comic book movies.
And the Warcraft movie was this year. I just like to point out
that I didn't even see that.
I haven't seen either.
Suicide Squad.
Batman vs. Superman was this year, technically.
And we haven't done an episode about DC.
We'll get to it. X-Men Apocalypse, though. Not to just pick on DC. X-Men Apocalypse, we tuned out like 3/4 of the way through. We were like, this is boring.
Stuff started happening, and I was like, "Oh, are they in danger now?"
Why was it a Mystique movie, and she wasn't in makeup the whole time, and also Psylocke's a, I don't know, whatever.
I'm waiting for that to be on Netflix or Hulu, and then watch it.
It wasn't good.
I didn't get to see it.
It was. I mean, I don't know. I think it's the weakest of the three, but I think First Class.
In the movie, there's the what did they call her? Sansa.
Jean Grey.
Yeah, no, but they in the Honest movies, Honest trailers, whatever. The girl who's playing Jean Grey, who plays Sansa Stark, I can't remember that actress's name. They're leaving a movie theater, seeing a movie, the Young X-Men. That one turns to the other and goes, ugh, it was terrible. Yeah, the third one's always the worst.
Like, that's their, it's like, haha, isn't that funny? We're making fun of ourselves, guys. Like, I know, but...
You're making fun of a movie that I'm presently suffering through, man. That's a joke at my expense.
That is really
funny. Yeah,
I mean, there were
good movies.
Yeah. There were good movies.
I mean, I don't know. Have you guys seen Rogue One?
Yes.
Yeah.
Have you seen it yet?
Yeah.
It was really good.
It was really good.
It was really good. It's a
war movie.
What I'm about to say does not lessen anything about how good I thought it was, but it didn't have the... I didn't leave the theater with the same Star Wars enchantment, like, goofy Star Wars boner I have for days after Rogue One, except for the fact that I really wanted to watch the first 10 minutes of New Hope, like, immediately. Mm, like, yeah. I wish it followed the credits. Yeah. Like, that's what I wanted more than anything, was just right after the credits.
I agree, and I'm kind of glad it mm-hmm. didn't feel the same.
I agree.
Because a Star Wars movie that's not... an episode that's not like mm-hmm. a part of this grand epic tale that's advancing the story of the whole galaxy. It should feel different, and it totally felt different.
Rogue One is gritty as fuck.
For Star Wars,
it's a suicide mission.
Yeah,
and it's a real fucking honest to God suicide mission.
It's the only Suicide Squad I gave a fuck about this year.
Oh,
it
made me really spoilers, by the way. Spoilers.
It made me really excited for the Han and Lando movie and like
Boba Fett
and that stuff. It makes me excited for this new franchise of standalone Star Wars story movies.
It feels if the first one out of the gate is like, then you're like, I don't know where this goes, but the first one out of the gate is super strong.
And this is a little spoiler. I do think we should tag in the post just to make sure you know about this, so you can fast forward by a few minutes here. But something that pissed me off about Rogue One is how much that was in the trailer that wasn't in the fucking movie.
Oh, yeah.
There was a ton. There was an entire line that I was super excited to see because I think it's badass. It's like, what? Why? Can you explain yourself? Why do you have all these crimes? It's a rebellion, isn't it? I rebel. Like, in this, like, snotty, like, lean back in the chair, like, mm-hmm. kind of like, whatever.
Yeah, bring her, it, bitch.
Yeah, her with, against the TIE fighter. Her in the Imperial uniform with the cool lights. Krennic walking through the battlefield. Like, there's
on the beach,
all this shit that didn't, that they cut completely. I think that with the defected pilot, who they did the whole thing with the space mind octopus, and it was like, be careful, because it can make you crazy. And then it's so easily to break your mind. And then he was fine.
He was a little unhinged.
They're pretty sure that like there was supposed to be like a whole other like storyline where he go crazy, and there was a problem, and they just ended up cutting a bunch of it. Like I don't know.
There's probably stuff.
There was so much fan service though.
Oh, it was great.
From Rebels, you hear. Maybe Hera, maybe her father, Paige.
Hera Syndulla, it's her.
Yep, they say General Syndulla.
They say General Syndulla, but it's her. The ghost flies in the battle. There's no way. I don't know.
And Chopper's in a scene.
Yeah,
but
a droid that looks like Chopper's in a scene. Everyone at work is being very pedantic about this.
Whatever. Yeah.
A droid that looks very much exactly like Chopper is in a scene.
Sure. there's a lot of fan servicey stuff. The Hogface dude from the Mos Eisley Cantina and his buddy.
There's also Uncanny Valley Peter Cushing, which we didn't need, and that's awesome.
There is, yeah.
We're in the negative area of this. I'm trying to focus on the negative, Nick.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't mind him at first, but the more they used him, the more I was unhappy with it.
Well, you have the best point. Like, why not just hologram him in and, like...
Snoke style.
You know?
Sure.
It didn't need to be...
Blue lines. I would never even be able to tell. Everyone would be like, well, of course he looks weird. He's a hologram. Like, it wouldn't...
Anyway, so...
what else?
Anyway, what else?
What else sucks?
We could talk about the number of deaths.
Well, seriously,
this year.
We just talked Star Wars, and we're recording this the day after Carrie Fisher died.
Yeah.
Yes.
Which is... she was fucking 60 years old. It's like she was not.
She was very young.
She was not old. She was
younger than my mom.
right now, her mother, Debbie Reynolds, is in the hospital.
Yes.
I don't know. By the time this episode goes out, her mother might die. And her mother, she's 85. So,
For me, there's this separation. I feel like once you hit 80, at least in my mind, once you hit 80, that is a life well lived. That is a strong, good life. And any death after 80 is nothing more than a victory over life. You know, I mean, really. Mm. I'm sure that when I am older and I'm, you know, in my 80s, that still will feel young because it's my age, but whatever. Like, I think I'll still... But the...
Carrie Fisher had shit left to do.
She
had cards in her hand that were yet to be played.
You know what didn't have left to do? All her scenes in episode 8. Yeah. They are all shot.
So that's good.
So, yeah. But they, I guess we know who dies in episode 9 then.
Well, they'll figure something out. I mean,
obviously they're not above putting in a CGI character.
For all we know, she dies in episode 8.
She might.
To be perfectly honest. Yeah, like, we don't... I mean, we don't know. But, like, I just... And I'm going to try very hard not to cry because, like, Carrie Fisher meant a lot to me because not just the usual geek girl reasons of, like, you know, self-rescuing princess and Princess Leia and stuff and all that, but specifically because of her bipolar disorder and the fact that she had ECT and she talked about it so openly.
Regularly. Still, even, like...
No, she stopped in 2007, I think, or something. But, I have never read anyone else talk about it that openly who wasn't talking about it ruining their life. There's a lot of stories about people saying how it ruined them or whatever, and hers was positive, and it was the only other positive story I ever read. And just everything about how she was unapologetically herself when it came to sex, drugs, drinking, mental illness, like the choices she's made, the mistakes she's made, the good things she's done and the bad, she didn't flinch from any of it. And I think that is so incredibly telling. And she, you know, unlike Harrison Ford, you know, and I know Mark Hamill was like her too, in the sense that she never was like, oh, I'm not Princess Leia. I don't want to talk about that. I'm not her. She's different. You know, that's not who I am. I've done all this else. Even though she had... And, you know, it's and she was still doing, she wasn't like she was just, you know, living on her laurels and Star Wars money. She was writing a column for The Guardian, an advice column, which was amazing.
Her books were really fucking funny.
Her books are fantastic.
She did a one-woman Broadway show.
She was a script doctor for a lot of movies.
I didn't know she doctored The Wedding Singer, which is one of my, a great movie. And that's, I love that movie. That's an underrated comedy. And it really is. I love that. I have that soundtrack. Like Alan Rickman was another one that hit me really hard.
Gene Wilder was one that hit me really hard. I mean, Gene Wilder was older.
Yeah.
He had dementia, you know, but there...
To me, that was more of a mercy and still sad.
From a comedy perspective, as a comedian, as somebody who admires people that did great comedic work, you know, Gene Wilder... His role and his performance in Young Frankenstein to me is like one of those great, understated comedic performances of all time. You know, everybody in that movie is great, and you know, and Wilder is essentially a straight man, but he plays the straight man so well, and sells.
He kind of does the same in Blazing Saddles.
He does.
He's not the star of Blazing Saddles. He's very understated, and he's very fucking funny.
His Willy Wonka was incredibly subversive, which is really amazing if you think, like, in hindsight, that he was. Mm-hmm. You know, he was a true legend, and I feel like he was in that category of, like, it's like when Tim Curry dies, it'll be like, that is very sad and probably a relief for him at this point. Like, there comes a time when, like, that's death is a relief, and we've talked about that a lot on this show.
Tim Curry has been dealing with the aftermath of a stroke for several years.
Yeah. But, like, it's so in terms of like another one that hit me crazy hard and is, you know, unequivocally way too young, Anton Yelchin.
Died at
accidental death at 27 in June.
And even though like the latest Star Trek movie was
he was so much more than Chekhov. He was in so many things that he was so good. And
he was the star of Green Room. And Green Room was...
You would like Green Room, Tim.
Green Room was one of the best movies I saw this year.
Yeah, really. It's situational horror where it's like it's not like, oh, monsters, ooh, scary murderer. It's like, oh my god, this is a horrific situation that could happen to you.
Kind of like High Anxiety without the
comedy
stuff.
Yeah.
Not High Anxiety. High Tension.
High Tension. So he, then we never heard. We never actually heard, found, I don't know if they ever actually found out what the hell happened to him.
It's a brake failure on his car.
It was just that?
Brake failure on a car that that was recalled for brake failure that year.
Okay.
So, this year.
Prince was young.
And Bowie.
Bowie was 69. Prince was 57, I think.
Bowie at least, I mean, he knew he was dying and he left us, you know, his swan song.
Oh, God, that was so sad. That was so sad.
Which is an amazing album.
It is.
And at the same time, like, fucking 69-year-old David Bowie was still making amazing music.
The fact that he kept it from everyone except for, like, you know, Iman and his family, basically, and that literally no one knew for the year and a half that he was dying is
he's making this album and it drops.
Yeah.
And it must have been set up to drop when he died.
I think it was set up. Yeah. I think they said it was actually set up to drop, if not when he died, then very, very like not much later than it did.
Yeah. But I mean, Prince was like, he was still making music. He was still producing.
Prince is indicative too of the opioid problem that we have in this country, like a big one, you know, where people get prescribed opioids for their backs or whatever, you know, doctors. I've had doctors try to throw narcotics at me so many times, and I even though my Methodist thing, okay, it's for laxatives, but it says a history of non-dependent drug abuse. Because I was addicted to laxatives when I went in. But even with that on my chart, I didn't realize that. With that on my chart, they're still trying to, like, give me dependent drugs. Drugs that they know cause drug abuse. Like, I was thinking about that the other day when I saw that on my chart and she removed it for me. Because I was just like, how are these doctors, like, would you like 30 Percocet when that note is right there? But, yeah. Really fucked up.
That's
George Michael
just died.
Yeah.
Christmas Day.
Well, is that when they announced it, or was that when he died?
Yeah, that's when he died.
Okay.
And that, I mean, and
he was
He wasn't making music anymore, but he was 53.
Force of good in the world.
He had a partner.
So the karaoke, the car karaoke or whatever, karaoke, whatever they have, some show.
Oh, yeah.
He was the inspiration for that with a thing they filmed in England like 45 years ago. I was reading this thing that were like, he wrote Careless Whisper when he was 17, but when Wham released it, he gave Andrew one of the writing credits so that Andrew wouldn't have to worry about money in case it went to be a big hit. He donated £100,000 every year to some charity in England. Like, he was like...
Anonymously.
He did visits to children's hospitals under the rule was there had to be no publicity, no press, and no one could know he was there. And he would go visit children's hospitals and stuff. I mean, it's just, he's like this amazing person. Yeah. And
these are people that, I mean, the thing about Carrie Fisher, the thing that makes that tough, the thing that I feel made it hard for me is, you know, number one, she's young, but number two, this is a celebrity who laid her failures bare, who didn't pretend to be perfect, who didn't pretend to be somebody that she was not. She said,
didn't try to erase pictures she didn't like, or
here's who I am. So when she died, there's nobody going, oh, well, you know, all these bad things about her. It's like, we all knew the bad things about her.
Yeah.
We all knew everything that was wrong with her, because she said, you know what? I'm just as fucked up as the rest of you. I just happen to also be famous.
I still saw someone try to say, well, 60 isn't young when you have a history of drug abuse.
Oh, I saw that too. Uh-huh. And I don't know if you noticed.
I did.
I laid the smackdown on
that. That guy deleted his comment.
I as well.
And he well should have.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, then I saw other people say, like, just on a thread where people were just commiserating and, like, celebrating Carrie Fisher's life and commiserating about her death. Some guy was just like, yeah, she fucked Belushi.
Who gives a fuck?
Yeah.
Irrelevant.
She can fuck whoever she wants.
She fucked a lot of people.
It was her fucking...
She was 60.
It was her fucking vagina.
Yeah.
You know, who gives a
Jesus
shit?
Jesus Christ.
As opposed to her non-fucking vagina, which she kept for special occasions.
Yeah, that was special occasions.
That was her show vagina.
Also, it might have been her butthole. I don't know. Whatever. Who cares?
My show vagina is my butthole.
Muhammad Ali died this year.
Yeah.
B.B. King died this year.
Leonard Cohen?
Leonard Nimoy.
Leonard Nimoy.
No, Nimoy was the last year.
Was it last year?
Yeah, Leonard Cohen died this year.
Leonard Cohen died recently.
Because Leonard Cohen died right before the election.
Yeah.
And Saturday Night Live did that amazing thing where Kate McKinnon, dressed as Hillary Clinton, played Hallelujah on the piano and sang. Out of my heart just broke in a million pieces. Because that song is... And here's the thing. That song has a... I have a complicated history with that song, but I I love when people do that song right, because that song is not a religious song, other than maybe kind of a tongue-in-cheek, almost anti-religious song.
Maybe there's a God above. Is it?
Yeah. Like, and when people change the words to suit their fancy, I'm looking at you, Johnny Cash, and Hurt. It frustrates me, because they it's like, well, you're not. This
changed
isn't
the meaning of
this
the song.
Isn't the meaning of the song. Yeah. And sometimes it's just one little word. Like, we heard an arrangement of it where they were like, maybe there's a God above, and all I ever learned from love was how to shoot somebody who outdrew you. And it's like, no, it's but. It's maybe there's a God above, but all I ever learned from love. And that's a totally different meaning. And like, what's, I don't know.
CeeLo, conjunctions are important.
CeeLo Green's cover of, the Lennon song, Imagine. Imagine.
Yeah.
Where
instead of imagine no religion.
It's imagine all religions
imagine true. Imagine all religions true.
That's bull.
Right? Yeah.
It changes the entire meaning of the song.
It is no longer a cover. You don't get to call it the same song.
It's a different the whole meaning of the song changes.
Or with Hallelujah, what they'll do a lot is they'll take the first two stanzas of one refrain and the second two stanzas, and they'll put them together like that's the new, and it's like, no. But Kate's was great and she played it straight and it was beautiful and it was a really good tribute. And I think I don't know much about Leonard Cohen, but I think he would have liked it. You know, like
Wes Craven died this year too.
Wes Craven died?
Yeah.
This
I
year?
So. I thought so.
God.
Wasn't that
there was a hundred
double check, but
the only reason I'm asking is because I looked at this list today that was 130 celebrities died this year.
And, you know,
it was a list of 100, I mean, and people that, I'm not just talking like, you know, at the Oscars, there's always the montage, and you're like, a guy who was
he died at the end of last year.
All right, and it's like, a guy who was a well-known, you know, lighting guy died. No, this was like 130 celebrities, people who...
Yeah, lighting guy, you're not a celebrity.
No, but you know, it's
Yeah, but is it more than in another year? I don't know, and it's one of those things where you also have to realize... celebrity is a relatively new phenomenon, which means that a great many of the people whom we recognize as celebrities when we were young are reaching an age where they die. But, at the same time, you're running into this thing like Prince absolutely was not that old. Mm-hmm. Carrie Fisher was not that old.
Mm-hmm.
George Michael was not that old. And it just felt like, it feels like every time you get hit, and it is fair... You know, and if you don't think it's fair to mourn for somebody you don't know, fuck you. You know what? It's fair. If this person had an impact on your life, then you can feel it.
There's no wrong way to mourn.
You'll get to decide who means what to who.
Right. Like, so when you get a gut punch of George Michael, and then 2 days later, you get a gut punch of Carrie Fisher, and it's just like, fuck this year. Mm-hmm. And I know it's not a year.
It takes an emotional toll. You don't get
time.
I know
it's not a year.
But it's, with everything else, I don't feel like I've ever had a chance to, like, emotionally... catch up to the hits.
Yeah.
And I mean, there's jokey stuff, and we can talk about how bad Batman vs. Superman is, but also, like, Wells Fargo created millions of fake accounts and charged all their customers are going to get no punishment / slap on the wrist, of course.
The Dakota Access Pipeline stuff that was happening at Standing Rock with police and their water
people
cannons.
Mutilated by police.
I mean, all the Black Lives Matter stuff that was happening this year.
Lander Castillo was murdered in the Twin Cities.
Hey, but you know what? He was murdered, and they're fucking
manslaughter.
Manslaughter, yeah. I know, but still.
It's better than not being charged.
Yeah, that's rare enough.
Yeah,
it's rare enough where a police officer gets charged.
It bothers me when people say when people who think they're funny and are trying to be like, I'm the funny cynical guy who just says funny cynical stuff, or like, guys, just so you know, on January 1st, people are going to still be dying. And it's like, yeah, but see here, time is a construct, and so we've constructed it. So when we say this has been a shitty year, we understand it's our own construction because we've done that. There is no such thing as time and calendars and days and years and months. But
just use it to make sense of moving through life.
If your mom died on your birthday, that would suck. And you wouldn't want someone to be like, well, actually, just so you know, you're going to continue to live days, and there's going to be...
Aging is gradual. You're not suddenly a year old.
She died in a 24-hour period, and it could have been any, you know? I mean, just like, it's there's meaning assigned to things. And in a year when we've already had... We had a rough year with the election. It's an election year is always rough because there's so much just meanness that gets put between people, and it's only been flames fanned. I don't know. Yeah. I try to think that I'd like to think that it would be better if Hillary Clinton had won, but I honestly don't know, because I think that all the people who are now jeering and chanting about how right they are would just be doing it, you know, anyway.
Yeah. The club in Orlando, the shooting at the club in Orlando.
Oh my God.
This year.
That was like right after New Year's, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Or something.
So, Harambe, you guys. Harambe got shot this year.
Yeah, they shot Harambe.
I know, it's just so hard for me. And people are like, okay, I will say, here's my bright spot so far from the year. There was an article that said, and this was non-ironic, they wrote this, meaning this perfectly legitimately. Season the Lion's brother, Jericho, who is also a lion. I mean, it's not funny because he was also shot, but what's super funny is just Cecil the Lion's brother, Jericho, who is also a lion.
Just in case.
In case you were wondering, that was a legit news source that wrote that out.
You know, and the Harambe story, I got it. I love animals, and, you know, gorillas are an endangered species and all that other stuff. And, you know, you also have to question the parents' attentiveness to their child. But
my kids are wild cards.
A kid fell into Harambe's cage and might have died.
Yeah.
And they had to make a decision.
Yeah. Oh,
and it's like, well, that's awful and it sucks. But if I'd been in that same position, I probably would have made the same decision.
Yeah.
If it had been another kind of animal, people wouldn't be as upset.
Yeah.
It wasn't
legit.
As human.
If it hadn't been an animal that we identify as being more human, mm-hmm. If he had fallen into the cougar cage, you know, and they'd had to shoot some 45-year-old woman with a martini, it wouldn't have been such a big deal.
Yeah.
Cougar right. jokes.
Yeah.
All right. So, before we go to our five questions, first five questions of 2017.
Ooh.
Let's do two questions really quick.
All right.
First, we need to come up with something good about 2016.
Okay.
So, Nick, something good about 2016. Am I going to say not personal? We've talked about about cool personal stuff this year.
Good things about 20.
I have one if you need a minute.
Yeah, go for it.
All right.
Molly.
Here's the best thing. Not the best. That's horrible. Here's a good thing that happened to me in 2016. Right. I finally listened to Hamilton. And I'm obsessed with it. And I'm listening to it all the time. And it makes me happy. And it is a really great musical. And it is a good thing.
About 2016. And this is fairly recent. Christmas Day or Christmas Eve night, maybe. The new Run the Jewels album, RTJ3, came out 3 weeks early.
Oh, it was a Christmas fucking miracle.
And it as the song in RTJ2 says, it's a Christmas fucking miracle. It's the best album of the year.
I know what you're wondering. Do they say Run the Jewels a lot?
In the background?
They do.
I feel like they talk about, like Killer Mike talks about being a Bernie supporter.
He was on the campaign trail with Bernie.
Yep. And then in the album, he raps about saying he kind of misspoke and also was quoted entirely out of context when talking about people voting for Hillary because she's a woman and not because she's the better candidate.
Mm-hmm.
And he addresses that in very, he calls people bitch a lot, let's say. But,
it's still a rap album.
Best fucking album of the year, RTJ3. If you don't like hip hop, obviously you won't like it, but the beats are so fucking fire.
They are. Tim?
Awesome. The surprise for me, is a movie that I think just, I want to get people to see because it was super amazing, is Kubo and the Two Strings.
Kubo was great.
A lot of people didn't see because it's got a name that makes you go, what the fuck is that?
Mm-hmm.
But absolutely amazing animation. If it doesn't win Best Animated Film, then fuck Disney and Pixar, and I love them both, but fuck Disney and Pixar, the best animated film of the year was Kubo and the Two Strings.
Yeah, for sure. Was it DreamWorks?
No, I don't
remember. It's the Box Trolls people.
Yeah,
whoever they are.
Box Trolls is shitty, so don't associate with Box Trolls. But Kubo and the Two Strings is just
it's the Coraline people.
Yeah,
right there you go. That's better.
It's an amazing story. The animation is just breathtakingly fantastic. So
that set a record for the biggest What are they called? Maquette. The biggest maquette ever used in stuff.
Yeah, which was the gigantic skeleton with the swords in the head. Oh, cool. Oh my God, that scene's so good. Right, so, I mean, the point is that is my good thing from 2017.
Kubo. Yeah, what's the other question?
The second question is something that you are looking forward to in 2017. This can be personal.
Okay.
But it doesn't have to be. So what are you looking forward to in 2017?
What I'm looking forward to in 2017 is maybe a little escapism, but Guardians of the Galaxy 2, we finally get a Spider-Man movie that's tied to the Marvel Universe. We get Episode 8. Logan is, by all accounts, the first 40 minutes of it, at least, are fucking amazing. I've seen
the first 40 minutes of Logan, and they are holy shit balls.
John Wick 2 and the Dark Tower movie, which I'm really nervous about.
Is it actually going to come out next year?
Yeah, next year, Molly.
Scheduled.
Yeah, next year. It's going to be like a winter or summer blockbuster. I can't handle it. Valerian and the City of a Thousand Planets. Like, there's a lot of movies I'm looking forward to next year.
Yeah.
Mine's going to be super personal. I've been a game producer for almost 2 years now, and I've produced a bunch of games, some of which I've talked about on the show, but I am actually, this is the first, I'm working on a game now that is, I am developing. I'm actually the lead and only developer and producer on it, which means I am doing the actual, like, game design of stuff.
Sweet.
So we bought a design from a well-known designer that is being completely changed in a dramatic fashion that is all me, and that game should be available for purchase at the end of next year. It'll be going into alpha soon, so it's very exciting.
What about you, Tim?
As much as I hate the fact that what they're going to do to the Hall of Presidents, I'm very much looking forward to the trip that we're going to be taking to Disney in January. It is me and Pat and three friends from the Renaissance Festival, Adam and Tirza Therese and Nan Miller. So it's an adult trip to Disney World. Mm-hmm. Adam and Tirza love Disney, but they've only been to Disney World for one day.
Mm-hmm.
Tirza's only been to Disney World for one day. She is, like, literally vibrating with joy over this thing.
I would be so excited if I was going on that trip dying excited to hear.
It is nerdy as fuck. We have Nan made us personalized T-shirts that match, one for each park.
That's awesome! So
we're gonna be in matching outfits. It's gonna be we are Disney nerding the fuck out of the trip.
I'm so excited for you guys, and very envious in a good way.
It started as us going, you know what? We want to do a dinner at Disney, and we're gonna do a destination dinner. And we were going to go for 2 days, and a scope creep happened, and now it's 6.
Yeah.
So, whatever. Awesome. But it's going to be great, and I'm excited. So, that is what we are looking forward to in 2017. Maybe
goodbye, 2016.
Fuck off, 2016.
Yeah, we'll see you.
Go fuck yourself.
Don't let the door hit you where the volcano splits you.
So, let's start with...
Where the calendar splits you.
Yeah.
Let's start with some great... Great question answering for 2017.
I've got some great ones from Katie Hoyt.
All right, Katie Hoyt. Question number one.
Hold on.
Wait.
Hi, my favorite podcast crew. Aww. My name is Katie. I was spending time at home because I'm sick. This was in September. And I was listening to old podcasts. I thought it was about time I answered the questions. First, a little history. I grew up Episcopalian, which left me as a very liberal Christian. Then, when attending college, I spent about 2 years being an evangelical Christian. I basically got kicked out of that group because of the guy I was dating at the time. That made me realize that being a Christian can turn you into an asshole. It was only about a year later that I totally quit on religion, and currently I am very happily married to an atheist.
Yeah.
All right.
Being married to an atheist is the better. Best.
It's true. I'm a big fan.
Question number one, what is a movie you will stop and watch anytime it's on?
Nope. These are the old questions.
Oh. All right.
Sorry about that. I didn't notice until just now.
Oh. Question number one, what is the best movie you've seen in the last 30 days? I remembered it!
The best movie I have seen lately is a Japanese film I saw on Netflix called Sweet Bean. It is about a man who is running a tiny dorayaki stand who ends up hiring a 76-year-old woman to help him make the sweet bean paste for his dorayaki. Hmm. It is a very touching movie about how this woman changes how he sees life.
Hmm. Okay. I've never heard of that film. That sounds great.
Question number two is, who is your favorite atheist character?
I have lots of favorites, but I guess my current favorite is Sherlock Holmes from A Slight Trick of the Mind by Mitch Cullen.
Hmm. Yeah. Yeah, we've established that Sherlock Holmes at least has atheist leanings.
I'm interested to hear how if that Sherlock... I'm interested to look at that book. That's an interesting...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Question number three is...
What is your geekiest hobby?
What's your geekiest hobby?
I like role-playing games, so much so that I spent time making my own gaming world with its own mythos. Mm-hmm. I have been working on the world on and off since I was 13. I am currently patching together my favorite parts of my favorite compatible systems to create my favorite gaming system.
Hmm. Sweet.
Question number four. Tell me about that sandwich.
Peanut butter and jelly, or more correctly, peanut butter and jam. I use my grandmother's whole wheat bread recipe for the bread. Then I love homemade strawberry jam made from berries picked in season, because good berries make good jam. I prefer creamy peanut butter with no favorite brand, but I have found that Fisher's makes a pretty nice peanut butter.
Hmm. All right, creamy peanut butter, that is the way. The way of things, if you're using peanut butter. All right.
I like them both.
I know Nick is just looking
like
you're such a dumb fuck.
I like creamy and crunchy. Nick likes crunchy.
You know what? Creamy is fine if you don't have crunchy.
I like them both for different reasons.
All right, question number five. What is the stupidest thing anybody's ever said to you about your atheism?
Unfortunately, this one comes from my dad, whom I respect as a very intelligent individual. So-and-so is an atheist because they don't have enough experience. This is stupid because I know a bunch of people who have changed their minds about religion because of the experiences they have had. Mm-hmm. I changed my mind because of my experience. Not everyone is going to draw the same godly conclusion from their experience. Even one of his favorite authors, Mark Twain, became an atheist in the end.
Oh, yeah. That's dumbest.
Yeah. Thanks again for your work. Keep it geeky, Katie.
Yay. Thanks, Katie.
Yeah. Thanks, Katie.
That's awesome. Yeah. So here we are in 2017. Let's be honest. There are going to be some celebrities that are going to die this year. Donald Trump is going to become our fucking president.
Oh my God, maybe he'll die. No, and then we get Pence.
Then
Shit.
We get Pence. Yeah, there's no bet. And if Pence dies, then we get Ryan.
They don't let him fly on the same plane, do they?
No, they don't. And seriously, if they both die, we get Ryan. Line of succession is a shit show. It doesn't get better.
The last time they're both in the same place at the same time is the inauguration. Though.
I know.
All right, then. Giant meteors, we're talking to you.
Seriously, then you get Ryan. I'm just saying, it doesn't get better. It does not get better.
No, it turtles the whole way down.
It really is.
But then he's not in the Senate.
I'm specifically picturing Mitch McConnell's turtle face.
The whole way down, yeah.
I didn't even know when Nancy Pelosi is in the line of succession. But it's a long way. I mean, the first liberal in that line of succession is a long way down.
So what you're saying, Tim, is... local atheist podcaster says many politicians must die.
But there's going to be good shit that's going to happen in 2017. Oh, yeah. So let's look forward to the good shit.
Probably.
And, let's fight the man.
Remember, life is what you make it. So get out there and make it good.
Yeah. Make your enemies sit through Justice League.
Yeah. Don't go to church because, like, life is short. Look how young some people died this year.
Right?
Don't bother.
And they wasted part of that time in church.
It's
some of those
true.
People
How about, let's make 2017 the year you stop paying lip service to your family's God.
Prince was a Jehovah's Witness. Think about how much time he could have spent making music.
Or having birthday parties.
Yeah. it's sad. I feel sad for Prince all over again. So thanks for listening, and we will see you next week. Bye.
Bye,
2016. Fuck you.
In the butt.
Since time isn't linear, all of this could happen again. Fuck science.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Until next time, you can find us blogging at geekswithoutgod.com. You can follow us on Twitter at geekswithoutgod, and you can even like us on Facebook.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Heed not the words of the union, like whatever.